Following the accusations about Harvey Weinstein, the allegations of sexual harassment continue to come across many industries. One of the latest to be accused is David Korn of Mother Jones magazine, who's been accused of making inappropriate comments and giving unwelcome shoulder rubs to several women. Korn says he never touched any colleagues in a sexual way. Many people are welcoming this movement of openness and accountability. Our next guest thinks it may be going too far. Kathy Young is a contributing editor at Reason. She wrote an op-ed in the Los Angeles Times titled, "Is Weinsteining Getting Out of Hand?" She joins us on Skype. Kathy, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
And do you think that Weinsteining, as you call it, is getting out of hand?
I want to say up front, you know, I think that there is a definitely positive aspect to what's going on, which is that, you know, people who have been quiet about sexual assault and serious sexual harassment have been coming forward. I think that that is unquestionably a good thing. What really worries me is that we are seeing, I think, sort of very broad definitions of sexual harassment. We're seeing a lot of claims about things that happened a number of years ago that may be fairly trivial. On the one hand, I think it is, as I said, a positive thing, but we do have to be careful, I think, about sort of unquestioningly crediting every accusation that gets made, especially on this kind of upsurge of the sort of mass wave of people talking about these experiences. You know, I really don't want to try to discredit anyone, but I think it is useful to remember that when you have this kind of wave of popular sentiment on the issue, sometimes people will try to get on the bandwagon and, you know, either exaggerate or even make things up. You know, it has happened before.
Well, and there's a big difference between what Harvey Weinstein is accused of and what some others have been accused of. How do you navigate that when, in some cases, the allegations are not of rape or sexual assault, but an uncomfortable conversation?
Right. And I think we are talking about a lot of highly subjective issues. We're also talking about things that I think may sometimes appear differently to people in retrospect than they did, you know, maybe 5 or 10 years ago when it happened. I think we know that people have a tendency to sort of edit their memories. And I think when there is this kind of laser focus on sexual misconduct in the workplace, people may sometimes reassess a conversation that happened 10 years ago that felt perfectly okay at the time. Suddenly now it may seem to be, you know, serious misconduct, or it may seem to be incredibly creepy when we're so focused on this issue. So, you know, what I would like to see is just for people to kind of step back a little and make sure that we're not, you know, destroying people for no good reason.
Well, and it brings up another point, which is that in some cases, the accusers are anonymous or allowed to be anonymous because they fear that their job prospects would be hurt if they come forward and say their name. But the accused is not given that same luxury.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, it is a very, very difficult issue to navigate because, again, on the one hand, I think you can totally understand why some people want to stay anonymous when talking about these issues, not only because of possible retaliation, but because it is an incredibly personal and sort of intimate issue to talk about. On the other hand, again, you know, we do have this basic issue of fairness to the accused. And we're not necessarily talking about the legal process here, but I think, you know, even outside the legal process, the right to confront your accuser really is pretty basic. And if we're having people brought down on the basis of anonymous accusations, I think that is quite concerning.
Should accusations of wrongdoing from decades ago be able to get somebody fired today?
I think, again, I would take this on a case-by-case basis. If we're talking about allegations of rape or sexual assault or, you know, sexual coercion where someone is told, you know, if you don't sleep with me, you're not going to get this role or something like that. And if there is actual evidence to back this up, or if there's more than one story where people independently of each other have these sort of very similar stories that do show a pattern, I think on some things, you know, there really should be no statute of limitations. On the other hand, again, if we're talking about these things that are very subjective, that lend themselves to a lot of interpretation, to a lot of sort of selective memory. I just am very uncomfortable about some of the things that have happened. If this continues, or maybe even now, I think a backlash is going to happen. And ultimately, the backlash is going to hurt people who are coming forward with very serious stories of misconduct.
Have you gotten any backlash for what you wrote in the LA Times about this?
From a few people, and I've had the sort of the usual, you know, how can you as a woman sort of let other women down kind of reaction. And, you know, my response to that is, I don't think that we owe loyalty to people on the basis of gender. And I think there's a lot of different opinions on this. And I think one of the reasons that I actually wanted to write this piece is to show that there isn't, you know, a single female voice that speaks for everyone, because I've certainly heard, you know, many women privately express these views to me and express these concerns.
That's Kathy Young, who is a contributing editor at Reason, and we'll link you to her op-ed in the LA Times. It's called "Is Weinsteining Getting Out of Hand?" Kathy, thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.